we just have to approve them, right?
Yes. Last minute, it's my last meeting.
I'm going to approve, okay?
I second.
Can we go through the directions thing again, like with everybody here?
Yes.
Faces and.
That would be okay with everybody, so.
So, yeah, look, which, I'm Misty Harrison, a nurse practitioner, and just got elected last meeting with along with Elizabeth and I together to be the co-chairs, whatever, so this is kind of new to me with all that. But I have one student, a junior at Abilene High School. I had two, but I have one that graduated last year, or year before last. So, and I've been on the Health Advisory Committee for a while.
Wow.
So, that's me.
I'm Sierra Greenwood, I am a licensed counselor, one of the behavior coordinators for the district. I have three kids, two of them are in AISD.
I'm Susan Webb, and I'm in AISD as well. I am a district mental health coordinator and do the therapeutic intervention program for the district. I had a student in AISD, but they are at college now, so I'm empty nester.
And I'm Linda Langston, I'm Director of Health Services for AISD. My three are grown and now have kids of their own, and I have grandkids in AISD, so.
I'm Kimberly Brown, I'm the new Executive Director for Federal Programs, so I'm the new Dr. Munoz. I've been with AISD since fall of 2017, actually June of 2017. I have two girls in Abilene Schools, an eighth grader at Mann, and a freshman at Abilene High.
I'm Andy Dillard, I am the Health and PE Facilitator for the district, and I will have one starting at Austin next year, so.
I'm Taylor Tidmore, I'm a physician here in Abilene, have four kids, oldest graduated last year, the other 3 years still in AISD, so this is my first meeting, so I'll just be quiet.
My name is Bruce Crook. We raised two kids here in Abilene ISD. They ended up graduating Cooper. I've actually taught for a year, 1 year only. And my wife is a physician here for the past 20 years, pediatrician, and glad to be here.
I'm Stephen Proct, and I work with the STAR programs. STAR Plus, STAR Kids, STAR Health, and the Texas Health Step, which is Medicaid Managed Care.
Olga Shawana, and I work also with the, it's with First Care part of it, who's got it right, with the managed Medicaid. And I do have, my grandbabies go to school at Madison and one at the Lyft.
And as Missy said, I'm Elizabeth Wilson, I'm the other co-chair at this point. We don't know what that means, but that's okay. We'll wing it. And I'm a nurse practitioner at a family practice over here on Pine. I've got a 10th grader and a 12th grader at Abilene High. And I've been on the SHAC for a while, and on the sex ed committee as well. So that's it.
And I'm Teresa Benton with AmeriGroup, which is Medicaid Managed Care. And my kids are both graduated with the college right now, but they went through Austin, Mann, and Abilene High. And I feel like I've been here, I don't remember when I was at part of this year. I know there was a time at some point I was not here, but
I've been here for a while.
Something way back here.
I'm Aubrey Wood. I work for the district that long as the health coordinator for Head Start, and I'm also a same nurse at Hendrick. And I have one child, and he's a sixth grader at Mann.
Is it Mann?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
My tiny, tiny sixth grader. He's very big.
Okay, I guess we did that out of order. Actually, introductions were first before the mental test anyway, so we've already approved them.
You're fired.
Okay, and then I guess Andy Diller is supposed to talk to us about e-recess.
Yes. All right.
You're going to talk to us about indoor recess?
Good luck.
He's going to line us up on dots, and we're going to do exercises.
I like that.
Well, speaking of, let's start on a lighter note. Maybe. How does this work? All right, here we go. See, I'm still learning how to operate this thing.
I was so impressed. I was like, I didn't know PE teachers could operate those.
They didn't give me one, so.
What is going on here?
I feel like they've seen Liz.
Who knows how to operate this?
I heard it's tremendous.
Okay.
Audio's up, but something else.
Gino.
Oh, I don't know. They don't let me have one of these either. Actually, I have one in my office, but I don't get to play with it.
We put a fireplace on ours in our office, so.
I know that. I heard.
Has anyone ever seen this movie, Mr. Woodcock?
Okay. Explain the plot.
That's funny.
I will call Hector if you want me
to. I'll call you up.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so.
Aww.
In this little clip, the PE teacher. And I've had a PE teacher like this growing up. I could play it through my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm recording on my phone, so I should have called Hector.
We'll just have to listen very carefully.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
We can play it small.
Here, go back to the end, please.
Down there by your other elementary kid.
All right. And hit play in 3, 2. Oh,
my grandma is.
Right. Here we go.
Nice.
That is a very extreme example of a PE teacher. I think this best fits our PE teachers today. I think a lot of our PE teachers have put a big emphasis on those three middle words, social, emotional, learning. We've really gone from the old reality of foundations of a skill and pouring more into positive relationships. I know for me, the past 2 years at Lee Stafford Elementary, and then this year with McMurray Center for Innovation, that's always my focus, is positive relationships. I've even had students that can care less about PE, can care less about doing
what the activity is. But because I've established that first, those first two words, positive relationships, they actually put their foot into what we're doing. They actually participate. They're actually engaging in what we're teaching them. And so I think this is what today's reality of a PE teacher is. And I think I tread lightly in this area. I think we can add more to our plate as an educator. I know with our classroom teachers, they're bogged down with X, Y, and Z. But the reality is, how can we get our principals to see us as just more than a PE teacher?
You're a sex ed teacher too, right?
And I'm a sex ed teacher too. So we just do it all. So that was just a little opener for you guys into the world of phys ed today. Is we've placed more of our emphasis on social emotional learning, and there's just a lot of negativity out there. We can probably all agree with that. Especially at the hands of a device, we have easy access to negative things. And so, anyway, I digress. That was just kind of a soft opener. So, come on, work.
Did you break it?
I may have. Okay, come on.
Well, if you're over there on the side,
that's a there we go. Yay. All right, so quick overview of the agenda that I have for you guys. Just some general guidelines mixed in with recess. Requirements, local and state. And then we have active academics, and then briefly touch into our yearly assessment. So some general guidelines, and this is our local policy. Physical activity during the school day will not be withheld as punishment for any reason. I've seen it used as punishment for multiple times. But I guess, I don't know, I'm just reading off of the script here. How do we get our teachers? The question that keeps coming to my brain is, how do we get the teachers, instead of withholding physical activity as a punishment? Me personally, I think they need to be out there. They need to be out there engaged, forging relationships, positive relationships with other students. I think there's just so much benefit into them engaging in physical activity, and the moment that we start to restrict that from them, me personally, that would just not resonate well, leave a bad taste in my mouth. And so I guess the question is, how do we get our classroom teachers to see that? Now, obviously, I know there are extreme behaviors out there where, yes, they may have to go to a reset room, or yes, maybe they have to go to in-school suspension, and that's something completely different. Whereas maybe Johnny didn't complete his assignment, maybe he was, I don't know, daydreaming in class, and now here we have, I guess this is kind of an extreme example, but here we have the teacher now having him do that lesson, which I've seen this plenty of times. Having him do that lesson on the bench while his classmates are at recess. And to me, that would, if I were that kid, that would probably destroy me inside. And so, and that's not SEL, so. yeah, I guess I'm going to kind of leave that up. I want to hear your thoughts, your opinions on that.
Are we saying PE or recess?
I think both.
Okay.
I've had a few. few teachers at Stafford withhold.
A school in town.
Do I?
I said a school in town.
Yeah, a school in town. I've seen or experienced where teachers would say, hey, we got to catch up on this assessment, and so therefore they're not getting their requirements.
Yeah.
And so.
So, I mean, there's lots of studies showing, of course, that they're going to learn better when they've been active.
Mm-hmm.
And they do better on tests when they've had physical activity.
Yeah.
And all the other developmental things. So my question is, we know if it's against district policy, how is it still happening? Why aren't principals and out there and saying, Johnny can't sit on the, but he needs, this is as important as the other stuff. I mean,
I don't think that it's as, I mean, like, I'm speaking very broadly here, because this is, okay. So most of the time when I've seen it happen, it's more of a safety thing, not you didn't get your work done or you were whatever. Like, well, you know, you punched three kids in your class, so we're going to keep you over here during recess. But I'm being serious, that's usually what it is.
So there seems to be, there's got to be another way, or they could, because all they're doing is bottling up even more energy mm-hmm. that's going to come out afterwards. So, you know, there's got to be some, or they, I don't know.
I have seen, and I don't know how people feel about this. When that's happened, they are given the option to walk a track with the teacher instead.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that when, because I work a lot with some of the, you know, higher level behaviors, and I know even when we've had, like in our therapeutic units, we've had a student who's, you know, had a very difficult moment, or maybe is this more of a safety issue. We never keep them out of the physical exercise, but
they're getting it.
One of the teachers will walk with them on the track instead and kind of process with them and talk with them about, you know, why we're walking the track instead of over here for today because of some of the choices that we've talked, and you use that time to kind of walk with them and talk with them and that kind of stuff. So sometimes there is that safety issue. They're maybe not in a good place to be around other kids, or they've had that.
Or they're a flight risk.
They'll do that sometimes. So I mean, that's an option. It may not be the play option, but they're getting the activity at least.
I also think there's just a lack of awareness, or just not knowing what our local policy might be. I know this is my first year being, I guess, at the administrative level, and my eyes have been open to so much more. And I mean, our principals are bogged down with a lot of data, a lot of assessment, STAR, you know, whatever. They are completely bogged down. And so I think, you know, and this is just my personal opinion, sometimes PE can be placed on the back burner over our policies. So
I kids have not been in elementary school for a few years now, but there were many times that they were either absent or didn't get something done, and the teacher made them sit in and finish it. And I know we've had this conversation in here, I feel like, so many times. I would like to push a little further on your question. Is there a way we can communicate that policy better,
mm-hmm.
maybe even by, communicating to parents that, you know, I mean, also to the teachers, reiterate, but that, you know, if this ends up happening, you know, your kid comes home and tells us this, remind us gently that this is the way it's supposed to be, somehow
mm-hmm.
turn that back around, because, I mean, if they're just not remembering, I feel like the kids are still having it happen. And like I said, it's just been a few years, but my kids had that happen a lot in elementary school.
Yep.
Well, or the whole class had to stay in today because
right.
Somebody, like our class didn't get to have recess today because kids were being bad and we all had to stay in. That kind of thing happened
mm-hmm.
quite a bit.
I haven't seen it in the last few years.
But it probably depends on what school, I mean,
What school, what teacher, any other?
I was substituting before I taught 1 year, and it was at elementary school, and the teacher that I was subbing for, it was her break period, so I just sit in the classroom, it was empty. And, but next door, the lady just started, just, we're not going outside, and I said, I feel like going over there and let those children play.
Yeah, those are the kids that need to, you need to go outside and run.
Yeah.
And you need a minute as a teacher.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Bottled up energy. It is, especially boys, I have to say.
Yeah. I've heard that quite a bit over.
They disrupt them, they just bottle up energy, they don't go on the run, they feel better.
Yeah.
On their own.
And I didn't do anything, is also what I think, which is always the.
I guess I'm just saying, where can we create accountability?
So I think that's on my end. That is where I need to speak with, you know, my chain of command and see where I can add my input.
And I wasn't throwing that back.
No, no.
I was totally like, I didn't know that was your responsibility.
I didn't take it that way.
Work harder.
That's like I said, this is my first year, so
yeah.
I'm learning every day.
Yeah.
And so.
I think there are probably two good places for that. And one is in our annual professional development for our PE teachers. I mean,
okay.
We get them together at least 3 times a year. They have August, they have something in October, they have something in February. So we have 3 times that we can touch them as a group and clarify expectations, you know, and then we have similar opportunities for campus professional learning where the district does mandate these topics need to be covered. You know, when the campus is going over their daily schedule, that's a perfect time to say, hey, remember, this is not something you can cut.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher's next question is going to be, well, when do we? And so that's a conversation for the campus to have.
Mm-hmm.
When do we recoup time with kids who have been absent? When do we recoup time with kids who, because they, you know, were out due to a meltdown, have some things that they need to finish? Well, it's probably not best. It takes away the one thing they've been looking forward to and working hard to get back to do that. But how do we work with the entire team for a student in that space to successfully get all the things done? But and we have another opportunity coming up in February where we can address that with all. There's a campus professional learning, there's a district professional learning for ladies group. So I think there's a good space for that.
And we can just keep chipping away at it. So
for the teacher who doesn't comply with that on a routine basis, that's
So that
would be documented.
So y'all take the role, I guess, in attendance and PE. I mean, does somebody review it? Said Johnny was here in every class. He was absent. Why was he only absent in PE? He was in every. You know, I mean, is there a way to catch it that you can see a pattern?
At middle school and high school, yes. At elementary, it's not in the system.
They take role first thing in the morning, and
and that's it.
I've never had to take role as a PE teacher. So
sometimes it's hard to change thinking too if that's the way we've always done it.
Right.
It's just hard to
sometimes
change that mindset.
And they have to know why. I mean, like, they're gonna want to know why. So we can clarify why.
Before we move on, so recess will complement, not substitute, physical education class. And this will kind of segue into our minutes. So our local policy states that all district elementary students in each grade will receive physical education for at least 90 to 149 minutes per week through the school year. Our state policy says that students enrolled in full-day pre-kindergarten in kindergarten or in grade level below grade 6 to participate in moderate to vigorous daily physical activity for at least 30 minutes throughout the school year. So daily physical activity for at least 30 minutes throughout the school year. The district may, as an alternative, require a student in that grade level to participate in moderate to vigorous physical activity for at least 135 minutes during each school week. So TEA is asking that we at least do 30 minutes daily, or due to scheduling concerns, 135 minutes during the week. And this can be met. Right now at McMurray, we've got 3 days of PE for 45 minutes, so we are meeting that minimum requirement of 135. I know there are elementary campuses out there that are still operating with our local policy. There's a few schools that are doing 110, 100, and then I think 125 out there. And again, this is just raising awareness at each of our campuses that, hey, this is what TEA is stating, that we have to have 135 minutes. I think, you know, campuses do have art. Campuses do have music that you have to go to. And so that, again, 3 days out of the week for PE, and then those other two for fine arts. But I think some campuses are still trying to push computer as a specialist time. And so,
this one's every month, or once every other week, I think it goes in here. But it's not in lieu of special, it's in addition. It's heavy learning.
Yeah. Well, that's the way we're going. So, anyway, that's just one thought, or one thing that I wanted to point out to y'all, that as a district, there are certain campuses, and this could be a numbers issue. I know certain campuses, they only have four sections per grade level, and then there's some campuses that have six sections per grade level, and that can affect minutes. But I've also seen it happen where they still meet the requirement of 135. So again, it's just raising awareness that this is what TEA is asking us to do. And so I personally learn better when I'm out moving, when I have my hands on something. I think we need to be taking full advantage of that. So at the middle school, it's pretty much the same thing, 30 minutes. I know middle school, they are meeting this requirement. And then with high school, I had to reach out to TEA. They are still updating their frequently asked questions regarding with the old teaks. PE in high school had four or five? Was it five?
Well, they had to have a credit. They had to have one full credit of physical education during their high school.
But I think there was five courses, or five options.
Oh.
But they limited, or they narrowed it down to three.
That's all kinds of alternatives.
And so we're still waiting for TEA to update their policy, which, come on, it's been a couple of years. And then active academics, this is something that I would like to see. I think COVID really hurt us in numerous ways. Let's start with this one first. So the district offers opportunities for students to participate in physical activity either before and or after the school day. When I was in Plano, I did a running club. And we met six times out of the semester, every Thursday. And we had such a huge turnout. We also had an active PTA. But we had such a huge turnout that it would require at least 10 to 11 parents to come. And I mean, we had a bunch of kids. We would go kind of off campus, down a little trail, and then circle back around, and it was about a mile jog. And I think as a district, I know certain schools have that implemented, but that is something that I would like to see with every elementary campus is where they implement some after-school program to get them additional active time. Let's go back to that first one. Teachers will incorporate movement and kinesthetic learning approaches into core subject instruction when possible. I've seen this happen, and it's amazing. They called it STAR Field Day. It was all in preparation for STAR, for STAR testing, and it had to deal with math, and again, I've slept since then. But I've seen it happen where our teachers, our core subject teachers, are taking movement and adding it into their lesson. And this one particular campus had higher numbers. And so it works. I'm talking a lot. I want to hear from y'all. Or I can keep trucking along.
I do like the idea of the after school. I don't know if you're getting, will the PE teachers be game for that? Like if that's...
Well, it's in our local. Okay. Local, right?
Because I don't recall yeah. ever, I mean, again, it's been forever since my kids were in elementary school, mm-hmm. but I don't recall. The only thing I know that was after school was punt, pass, and kick, mm-hmm. but that was just that one day. That was it.
Yeah.
It was not, they didn't have practice. Or after school or anything, and then of course at the end of the year of their fifth grade year they got to do the track meet, but that's the only things that I recall I had that had physical activity that was outside yeah. of regular school hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it's in our local policy,
and that would have been something I think looking back that would have really benefited my son.
Yeah, like, absolutely,
because he was I can look at Dr. Lemasters. She knows what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He was a handful. He's just very active.
Yeah, I would think that PE teachers would leave that program, and then obviously they would reach out to the campus to see who else would like to volunteer their time in helping out with that. And then this is a great way to get community involvement with parents coming in and helping out as well.
And then also, do all elementary school teachers have like an aide, or do they go to recess like two at a time, or... If a child does need to be held out, would there be a way, because like we're talking about walking the track or something, where maybe a portion of that time could be devoted to walking the track to get that energy out, and then let's go back and take care of our assignment?
I think every elementary campus right now has a PEA, or should have one.
Okay.
PEA for the PE class, yes, but not at recess.
Right.
Having an aide is not a guarantee. Sometimes there might be at a Title I campus an aide that spends maybe a half day in one grade level and a half day in another grade level supporting the whole grade level.
Right.
But an entire grade level going to recess at one time or several teachers going at one time, that's very common.
Okay.
So that you've got more than one set of eyes watching all of the activity that's going on. And I know as a campus administrator, I even went so far as to say, these are the stations where teachers will be at recess, because it's very tempting to socialize when you're getting your one chance to see another grown-up for hours a day. And so you know, for the kids' safety, there's that. But that also then offers the opportunity, hey, does anybody have some kids who just might need a little more coaching during this time, a chance to debrief, or you have a teacher that's developing some skill in that area. And then you have some fantastic assets like behavior liaisons who might be free at that time to take a small group or something like that. That all of that is just, some of that is the magic of the day. How's the day going? Do we have that person today, or does that person need to be somewhere else? But definitely not one teacher alone out on a playground for recess. That I can't imagine that ever happens anywhere. Because that's just unsafe. I'm going to say that word. I hope that doesn't happen.
One place that I remember specifically, and this may have been at Taylor specifically, but that my kids got a lot of movement was in music.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry Graham is
yeah.
brilliant at that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might also kind of look at how much they're doing in the music program, because
yeah.
they were always moving. And, you know, that was, I think. way to, like you said, it's incorporating, you know, movement.
Something else that I see a lot of are brain breaks.
Yes.
Where they'll put on a music video or a brain break video, and
yes.
so the kids are doing some dancing.
Yes.
And in transitions between different activities, or we've got like, we're going to take 90 seconds and do this right now before we go into this next phase.
Mm-hmm. We do yoga.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
I do think that it's definitely not the norm to see campuses take students and hold them. I mean, if they're in ISS, they're probably not going to go outside.
Yeah.
I know that the like old school way of thinking has, it was like people were getting on board with like brain state, mental health, like how kids are learning. And then COVID happened and it was like you didn't get the option anymore to, because like our whole society changed, especially
yeah.
in school. And it's not even that like teachers will, I mean they genuinely can't. These kids are not like coming to school every day, not, I mean mine included, that are like, I wanna sit and learn. Like there has to be some kind of an incentive, and they are, I mean, they are moving. But I'm not speaking for every campus. I mean, there are a few that I don't go to often. But from what I've seen, I think that we've, at least that's the mindset, I'll say that. You know.
Yeah.
And they run in the halls away from us. So.
Getting their car.
And they climb.
Yeah.
And they climb.
I don't know if you've heard of the safe room, or we're getting a lot of activity in there too. So.
Yeah.
Would you mind like clocking those hours?
My watch does.
Okay.
We probably have that towards our 1:30.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Chart that.
I'm glad you brought that up about music, because I have seen that. I just completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and I have no, I mean, I have, my only experience is at Taylor, so I don't
yeah.
know, you know, both my kids went through there. And,
yeah.
But,
yeah, I've known quite a few music teachers that have.
I remember
had
my
anything.
Music teacher in elementary school did that. Like, I'm
yeah.
not, that's still, I still remember that,
mm-hmm.
so. I
yep.
think they're teaching them that, so.
Absolutely. And then my last piece, assessment, we still do our annual fitness gram, physical testing, but I would like to maybe see our local policy require us to do it twice a year. Do like a mock test in the fall where it's not the full test, it's just your cardio, your core, and your upper body. I would like to see that, and that way that would give us, I've learned being in administration that documentation is everything, data is everything, and that that has always been something that has, you know, been on my mind, is showing student growth, but I think if we added it into our local policy, requiring teachers to do a mock test and then the full test in the spring. That would give us a lot more data and growth over our students. Typically how I do it in the fall is I'll cap each student off at 25. So whatever, if we're doing push-ups, if we're doing sit-ups, if we're doing our cardio pacer test, once they get 25, I stop them. Once we get to the springtime, unlimited. Go for as long as you can. Do as many as you can. And I always give them the option, if your fall score is better than your spring score, then obviously that's what you'll have. But it kind of gives them a goal to reach. It's a challenge to them. Oh, I've got to be 25. Or, oh, I've got to be 15. And again, that's just something that I'd like to see added into our local policy, is kind of making sure that our teachers are achieving that growth or seeing the growth come in.
And I would like to see, I mean, I don't know if it's still done this way, but those reports did not go out to the parents. Parents had to write and request the report. And I'm thinking, okay, lots of parents don't know that. They have to request the report.
Yeah.
And also, we used to, I mean, back in the dark ages, on our report card, it gave our heights and weights,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
that every 6 weeks. Yes. I mean, now, even getting them done in the fall, when I was a campus nurse, I'd do them in the fall
mm-hmm.
and in the spring, and I'd send it out to the parents, because lots of parents, unless they, when they go to the doctor, they get weighed and measured, but
yeah.
if they never go to the doctor, which a lot of them don't.
I'll confess that this past school year, I did drop the ball on that, getting those scores out to parents. But my first year with the district, I did provide that.
But doesn't it still say that the parent has to request the fitness gram scores?
I
read that when I was working on the wellness policy,
mm-hmm.
where they are not sent out to the parents unless parents request them. And I thought, lots of parents won't know that.
Yeah.
Does FitnessGram offer the opportunity for reports to be printed at
mm-hmm.
grade level or campus-wide?
Yes, so...
ranges?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There's a... that's a conversation we can definitely carry forward if that's something that can be... because we've pushed this year in academics to ensure that communication of our fall assessment results of our three-time-a-year screener, that does get communicated to families. Principals had to say, this is the date it went home for per grade level. This is how we sent it home per grade level. And they had to attest to that, because we found that academically we weren't communicating to parents, hey, here's how your kid is doing on this assessment that we're using to determine whether or not we need to intervene with your student academically. So it would follow suit
yes.
that communicating this result that we have, that we're required, this test we're required to give, that we would also want to do that without making the parents do more work.
Yeah. I know most of my PE teachers are pushing that data out to parents, but that is definitely a February reminder
mm-hmm.
to all of them. And I know there's a few new teachers of AISD that probably are not aware of that.
Does that report give them the, like, age level norms for performance?
Yes. Cooper Institute in Dallas provides that data. Their website's tricky. I used to have a poster. But
well,
yes, they do give norms.
I've never received any of that as a parent. Anyway.
I haven't either. And my kid's been here for
I do know about
years.
The fitness gram taser test, though, because that's all they talked about last year. The fitness gram taser test. Is it aerobic? Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's embedded. I don't need nightmares. So. So I guess that was my last slide.
Thank you.
Just to kind of do some takeaways.
But before you leave, can I ask one more question?
Yeah, sure.
Else I can get in trouble today. Don't put that in.
how
are our high schools doing complying with FitnessGram? Because kids don't always have the PE class. They have the substitutes, which can be band and athletics and ROTC and
ballet.
Drill team and, you know, all the things.
That's a great question. I'm willing to discuss with you.
Okay.
Back at Hartford.
Okay, got it.
We'll need to
okay.
dive into that.
Okay.
So just kind of the takeaways for today is that we're wanting our elementary campuses to get their 135 and just kind of think about, brainstorm some ways how we can achieve that, or I will brainstorm some ways. And then, obviously, we talked about recess and physical activity not being withheld as punishment. So, yeah. Love to hear some feedback.
I think they ought to stress, when you're home on the TV, some of these exercises that we're doing right now that are just body weight exercises, you know, body weight versus gravity, push-ups, the leg lifts, sit-ups, there's a whole
whole, you know, you've seen them, you know them all, there's a whole litany of bodyweight exercises.
Yep.
If they get doing that on their own, at home, getting encouraged to do that, maybe they can come up with like a chart or little contest. It's kind of on your own, you know, you can't really go on that, but are you really doing these? You'll be able to tell if they're really doing those exercises at home anyway. Yeah, I mean, it's good that the school should put it in there, but
yeah,
it's not enough. I mean, because mom and dad bring home soda and chips. And
no, it's kind of one step forward at school and two steps back at home.
Yeah.
Maybe
they can get going on their own at home a little bit.
You know, they've been going all day, and you know, the last thing that they want to do is be active, and so they just couch potato. And so, I know myself, I've always stressed that in between commercial breaks, you know, knock out 5 push-ups, next commercial break, 2 5-sit-ups, keep it small.
Parents are going to have to remind them, somebody's going to have to remind them, because they won't remember.
And there are ways
to have it,
to incentivize that, where they take home a chart or something, and they have to do this amount. And they have mom or dad or whoever sign off on it. But again, it's
all optional, but if they got doing that on
their own, it is an option.
They that's when you do stuff on your own, you tend to do it more forced.
And it's not something that like you can really police as a teacher. It's just,
no, it's just
kind of take them at their word. But I think that's a good start. I think that's
it, though. Emphasize it.
Yeah, absolutely.
At home, do that. Not just at school.
Yeah.
Not enough time at school.
If we could just get our parents to not give them a screen the second they got home until they go to sleep, that would be, I think, the first
for us. Sometimes there's no parent there, though.
Yeah.
Everything
does. Yeah. Hey, here's your phone.
Yeah, the phones have already got.
Yeah, fifth grade student today. I was walking him back to his classroom from the gym at McMurray, and asked them, "Hey, how was your weekend? Whatever." He goes, "I got a phone." Great. Didn't get one of those until high school. So, second half screens.
Send them an optional workout video on their phone, to their phone. Yeah, really, man, someone will do it. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to do this, and you feel better after you do it, too, mentally.
There's a market there.
There is. There's an app. Athletics. Athletics at home or something.
Well, does anyone else have any questions for Andy? He is open for any recommendations or questions. I'll give you his email so you can think of something.
I'm ready to annoy principals. Let's go.
I do like what Elizabeth said about the music, though.
Yeah.
If you could talk to the music somehow and get that incorporated with at least one lesson per semester or 6 weeks, I mean, however that's broken up, includes a song with movements.
Most of them will do, probably every grade level performance includes something that has motions. And like, I would say I've never seen one that didn't have a song with motions.
Mm-hmm.
That grade level is going to perform at least once a year, sometimes twice if they cycle through. But there's more even than that. I mean, so they do a lot of rhythmic things,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, there's a lot of body movement to the rhythm that, especially at elementary, that's a little different than when you get into middle school and your music becomes, by its very nature, a little more sedentary. It develops different muscles, but you are sitting with an instrument, or you're sitting or standing in choir. You're in one place. You're not moving around a lot until you get to show choir in high school or band. There's a gap in middle school where we're not moving a lot in music, but our elementaries are really strong. I'd be interested in maybe polling them to say what, you know, just as a shout out, talk to us about, you know, how that's gone, or point us in the direction of a video of your kids doing something like that that have been involved movement with the music.
And then kind of steering here, or steering off a little bit, but I know with Abilene ISD, if they do decide to do 5 and 6, so grades K through 4, 5 and 6, one thing that I would like to see, when students go to middle school, 6th grade year, they are 3 months out of an elementary setting, a PE setting. So that's all they know. And if we do go 5 and 6, we can continue that for our 6th graders. I know with middle school they have pre-athletics, and I've been to a couple of middle school gyms here that are just regular PE class. But it's kind of chaotic, to be honest, in a middle school setting. I know certain teachers have done a really good job of controlling that 6th grade, 7th grade, PE class, whatever. But I think there is just a low structure environment, and elementary students should be coming from a high structured gym environment. Should be. That's not always the case, unfortunately. But with that being said, if we do decide to go 5 and 6, that will be a good service to our 6th graders. And so,
this is my first meeting, so some of
you may even. It was my first meeting too, and look how much I talk. So don't be shy.
Just like you do for voting. You said there's like a required 135 minutes. Is that just for PE, or does that include PE and recess, or elementary guaranteed recess?
So recess is to complement, not substitute. So it should not go within.
Should not include that 135.
It should not go within that 135.
Are elementary students guaranteed recess?
20 minutes. They're on weather permitting days, 20 minutes. But yeah, our local policy states that it should complement, not substitute. That time.
What is weather permitting? I've had kids come and tell me it was 55, so I stayed inside. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. What is weather permitting?
We have the weather guidelines on the AISD. It talks about the wind chill,
yes, so
with
the
temperature, when we keep them inside.
See, they want to go outside.
But
I'm in their classroom if it's.
Huh?
Is it 45?
Is it, I think it's 45 with the wind chill of.
Right, 45 to 95, 98.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because we have principals emailing all, can we go out today? And we'll look at that chart and we'll say, no, you know, it's feels this on the skin. So, and I mean, we have kids that come to school, like tonight, they'll come with shorts and short sleeve shirts, and you're just like, did you bring a coat? But then they'll wear sweatshirts and coats during the summer, and you're just like, what happened to your coat during the summer? You know, so. You know, but yes, we do have that weather guideline on the AISD website. So
Sierra is absolutely right. The teacher would, most teachers are much happier to take them out to recess than be stuck inside for that 20 minutes of, you know.
Yes.
Is every elementary student guaranteed that 20 minutes? I mean, not saying that they're.
Weather point.
That they every student.
Yeah, weather.
It's in their schedule. But I mean, there are exceptions sometimes when kids don't go, but I mean, most of them, the teachers want them to go.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, not away.
Energy release.
You know, it's like, go play, go do something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's a hula hoop standing there. That was a joke. No one does that.
Uh-huh. I've got some Yankee running through my blood, and so I would always push that cold limit. So
I might have somewhere cold. It didn't matter how cold it got, they went out and But they all had their big coats and gloves and everything too, though. I mean, when you have a lot of winter, they went out. Mm-hmm. There was no, I mean, I guess blizzard, but there was no weather permitting.
I know with last year, it was difficult to get out. Last winter was pretty windy, if memory serves me correct. And so those wind chills can really make it or break it for
So do they go in the gym when they're not?
It's PE.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
If the campus has a flex space, sometimes they'll use that. But not every campus has a flex space where they can go. And
usually they stay in their classrooms.
Or with the newer buildings where they have the, like Austin, Dias, and Taylor, where they have the kind of communal space. They can flex out into that space a little bit, so it's not just being cooped up, even if they have to stay inside.
Yeah. And then some of, just adding on, some schools have a activity gym, and that's also a space utilized.
Okay, so if y'all have any questions, email me and I'll get them to Andy and he can answer, okay?
But I'm ready to annoy principals, so.
And I will tell y'all, on topics, I know y'all last time were talking about, like COVID, if we're making kids stay home for 5 days, if they're positive COVID, why is that counting against them? And so I'm working on getting someone to come talk about that, okay? So, Kim, you might can help out in that area about.
We'll talk more about that and see what you need.
Yeah. So, is there any other, topics that y'all want to talk about or that I could get someone to come in and?
Maybe next meeting an update about the Narcan.
The Narcan, okay. I will tell you that Wednesday, we're meeting with some of the narcotic agents and with the AAPD, and they're going to kind of give us the numbers because it does seem, not so much here, or I don't know, I haven't heard so much here, but other school districts are having, I know Wichita Falls has had a real problem with the fentanyl, so I don't know.
I mean, it's in town, so it's gonna get into the schools.
I'm surprised we haven't had more of it, but we're gonna talk about that. And it's great, y'all, it's one of those, right now we can get the free Narcan kits, but it's just kind of like the EpiPen kits. The EpiPen kits that I get for EpiPen for free, I think that's gonna run, when they're sending us, one, two for every campus, that's pretty expensive, and I'm afraid that every year I think, because it gets slower and slower to get sent out, and I'm thinking, they're going to finally shut that down, so.
Is that from the state?
It's from the drug company that they give us. You have to apply for the EpiPen for free school program, and we get an adult and a junior EpiPen for each campus. So I just have to write the grant every year. And they send it to us, so. And that's a big plus.
Are y'all using them? Are the campuses using them?
We have used them,
Yeah.
And most of the time it's either a teacher that has never had an allergic reaction to a wasp thing or something that's out on the playground at recess and she gets stung and she goes in, the anaphylactic shock, or it's kids that have a prescription for EpiPen, but they don't get them filled because they don't have the money or their Medicaid's run out, and so they don't get them filled, so we have the EpiPens there. So, And so then we kind of, you know, when we're on the campus, we, you know, maybe move one from another campus to that campus because of the fact that we know that there's a kid that needs, is supposed to have an EpiPen and does not have one at school, then we'll move it. So let me know if there's something that y'all would like to hear about, you have questions about, and I will get that person that is the best person to answer questions to come to answer or tell you about their program or something. Okay?
So when will our next meeting be about?
Our next meeting, we had to have this one early because I thought, would you rather have it before Thanksgiving or after? And I thought, everybody will be too tired on the Monday after. So I, but the next one will be the fourth, is there fourth Mondays in February? It'll be February, the last
February
Monday of February.
The
27th. February the 27th will be our next meeting. So, y'all have any questions for me? Comments? Thank y'all for coming. Thank you, Andy, for doing that. Thank you.
Talk a lot.
No.